tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The urgent manhunt for a high school student who police say opened fire on two faculty members after a pat-down. Authorities in Denver tonight warning he's armed and dangerous. Police releasing his image because of public safety. The 17-year-old student allegedly opening fire, one of the staff members in surgery. School officials say he was specifically ordered to undergo pat-downs because of previous issues. Mola Lenghi standing by at the school in Denver tonight. Also this evening, the reported tornado near downtown Los Angeles, one of two reported twisters. This record-breaking storm turning deadly in California, mudslides forcing homes to be evacuated, drivers navigating streets with downed trees and power lines. 20 states tonight, from California to Texas to Ohio, now on alert for flooding, snow, and severe storms before this then hits the Northeast. Rob Marciano timing it out. In New York City today, the tense standoff unfolding high above the ground in New York. A suspect dangling from a window on the 31st floor, threatening to jump, with the FBI there with an arrest warrant. The terrifying scene for pedestrians below. Will former President Trump be indicted by a grand jury here in New York? Why that jury was told this morning not to come in today? What's driving this? John Carl with new reporting tonight. Meantime, Trump's likely opponent on the Republican side, Ron DeSantis, and his new interview tonight. After DeSantis said supporting Ukraine was not in the interest of the U.S., what he's saying now. Also tonight, news on DeSantis and a potential plan to extend Florida's Don't Say Gay policy in schools all the way to the 12th grade. Rachel Scott reporting tonight. The war in Ukraine and horrific video this evening showing a deadly missile strike targeting an apartment complex and exploding drones attacking a college and dorm near Kyiv. Russia launching these attacks before China's President Xi left Russia. Here in the U.S. tonight, new developments in a suspicious death that the nation learned of during the Murdoch case. Tonight, the death of a teenager, a former classmate of the surviving son, Buster Murdoch, now ruled a homicide. The warning tonight on some common eye drops, the CDC now saying they have led to more deaths and blindness. Also tonight, beloved actor Dick Van Dyke in a car accident, and we'll have the latest. And the creator of The West Wing, Aaron Sorkin, on his stroke and what he's learned.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Wednesday night. And we begin tonight with the urgent search for a teenage gunman accused of opening fire on two faculty members at his Denver high school. Authorities say it happened after a pat-down. Police say the student was searched like this every day because of concerns involving him before. During this morning's search, they say he opened fire, wounding those two faculty members, one in surgery now, the student then escaping. The school placed on lockdown, students barricading themselves inside, parents rushing to the school. As police search for the gunman, they are warning the community tonight he is armed and dangerous. The incident at Denver's East High School, where just last month a student was shot and killed while sitting in a car near that school. Now, paramedics who were in the building helping the victims, both staff members, both hospitalized tonight in serious condition. A crowd of parents gathering outside the school. You can see the pictures there, all waiting for word today. The emotional reunions then that followed. Tonight, police identifying the 17-year-old suspect because of public safety, they say, now wanted for attempted homicide, asking for help in finding him and warning people to stay away if they see him. ABC's Mola Lenghi leading us off at that school in Denver tonight.
Tonight, the urgent manhunt for a 17-year-old student accused of opening fire inside his Denver high school, shooting and injuring two faculty members.
PGSW, I need two ambulances, please.
Authorities say that just before 10 a.m., the student, identified by police as Austin Lyle, was undergoing a daily pat-down for weapons when he opened fire with a handgun, striking two administrators. Lyle had been singled out to be searched every day because of behavioral issues.
Is this particular student actually had a safety plan that was in place where they were to be searched at the beginning of the school day every day? They had been searched previously to today and had never had a weapon on them before. However, today, during that search, which took place away from other students, away from other school staff, they did produce that weapon and fire shots.
Lyle then fleeing the school campus with the gun.
The scene is not secure. Student has a weapon. Do not know where they are.
Police rushing to the scene, a massive search underway. Authorities saying the suspect may be driving a red Volvo SUV.
We don't have any sense of where he is. We do know, again, where he lives, and we are executing a search warrant at that location.
Officials warning the public not to approach the suspected shooter.
Obviously, he is armed and dangerous and willing to use the weapon, as we learned this morning.
The school placed on lockdown.
That's crazy, bro.
Students spotting police and first responders from their classroom windows. Paramedics already in the building quickly rendering aid to the two victims. They were taken to an area hospital, one in serious condition and undergoing surgery, the other in serious but stable condition, able to tell police what happened. At the school, a crowd of anxious and frustrated family members waiting outside.
I'm very upset. I just feel like we as a society are not doing enough. We don't have any police in the school. There's no metal detectors.
Many upset that this has happened once again.
I rushed over here for the fourth time this year to get my son out of a lockdown. It's got to stop. I can't take it anymore.
This, the second shooting at East High in just 6 weeks. Last month, a junior was shot while sitting in his car near the school. He later died from his injuries.
Well, both students and parents have recently been calling for increased security measures here at the school, from resource officers to be brought back to metal detectors to be installed. Now, the school is closed for the rest of the week, and once it reopens, the school district says two officers will be placed here for the rest of the year, David.
All right, Mola Lenghi leading us off in Denver tonight. Mola, thank you. We're going to turn next tonight to the reported tornado in downtown Los Angeles, one of two reported twisters. Part of this deadly storm barreling across the country, 20 states, 60 million Americans now on alert tonight. The strongest March storm ever to strike San Francisco. To the southeast of downtown L.A., these were the pictures. This very unusual sight, a likely tornado in Montebello. And then to the northeast of San Francisco, rain washing out a retaining wall on Interstate 580, fears of a complete collapse now. Santa Cruz County hit especially hard. One resident recording his treacherous escape right here through the downed trees and power lines. The storm now targeting the South Texas, right up to Ohio, and then into the northeast. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano in Santa Cruz tonight.
Maybe this tornado.
Tonight, an extremely rare sight in Southern California. Two reported tornadoes. One of them just east of downtown Los Angeles, sending debris flying. Workers watching and recording as roofing goes airborne.
It came right down to the ground. It ripped the roof off five buildings here in this industrial area. Only one person injured at this point in time.
Just up the coast, a confirmed tornado spotted near Santa Barbara. The National Weather Service surveying the damage tonight. The strongest March storm to ever hit the Bay Area, now carving a path of destruction up and down the Golden State. In the San Francisco area, more than 700 reports of downed trees. At least five people killed and several others critically injured. And overnight, San Francisco's 3rd Street Bridge shut down for a time after at least one barge slammed right into it. The high winds sending furniture and other debris flying from city skyscrapers.
So let's bring in Rob Marciano with us tonight to time this out again for us. Hey, Rob.
Hey, David. You can see utility crews behind me finally getting a break and making some progress. This storm winding down here on the West Coast, but plenty of staying power to go cross country. Already alerts are stretching into the Ohio River Valley, and all hazards are in play here. Snow, wind, avalanche, flooding, and yes, severe storms come around about this time tomorrow across the southern plains from Oklahoma City to Dallas. Big hail, big winds lightly there, and then stretching into Alexandria, Jackson, and Memphis during the day on Friday. Better chance of seeing tornadoes, I think, that time. And then pushing up across the Great Lakes in heavy rain through Cincinnati into the Northeast with heavy rain and snow wrapping around the backside of this on Saturday. We don't get rid of this whole storm until late in the day on Sunday. David?
We hear you, Rob. Tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, we'll still be on the watch for this thing. Rob, thank you so much tonight. Meantime, back here in New York City, today for hours, a very tense standoff high above the streets. A suspect dangling from a window on the 31st floor, threatening to jump, with the FBI there and an arrest warrant. Pedestrians pushed back below, and the dramatic moment this finally came to an end. We let you know tonight that suspect is in custody, and Trevor Ault on the scene.
Tonight, a heart-pounding standoff playing out 30 floors above a New York City street. A man wanted by the FBI seen perched on the ledge of the window, legs dangling, while he threatened to jump from this luxury high-rise just steps away from Carnegie Hall. Police bringing in this large inflatable, moving the crowd back as they watch from below. It all began before 9 a.m. when the FBI tried to execute an arrest warrant, the man barricading himself inside the apartment for hours, an officer finally rappelling down from the floor above, the suspect trying to grab his ankle before that officer is able to get inside. Authorities finally taking that man into custody late today.
And David, authorities took that man to the hospital while he was wanted on fraud charges. No charges have yet been filed as his health is being evaluated. David.
All right, Trevor Ault in New York. Trevor, thank you. Now to former President Trump and security here in New York, already on heightened alert ahead of any possible indictment of the former president. We learned today that members of that grand jury were called and told not to report in today. So what could this signal? Jonathan Carl, back again tonight.
The Manhattan District Attorney investigating Donald Trump's hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels told the grand jury hearing the case to stand down for today. Sources tell ABC News jurors were informed at least one additional witness may be called to testify before they decide whether to indict the former president. Trump declared over the weekend that he would be arrested on Tuesday. That obviously did not happen. But New York is still bracing for protests after Trump called for his supporters to turn out. But few people so far seem to be heeding his call. His former Vice President Mike Pence, who saw firsthand what happened when Trump called for protests on January 6th, said people should not protest this time.
I would discourage Americans from engaging in protests if, in fact, the former president is indicted.
All right. This, of course, the hush money case here in New York City. John Carl back with us tonight. I want to turn to the story you broke last night here. The special counsel investigation, of course, into the mishandling of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. John reported last night that a federal judge finding the special counsel presented compelling preliminary evidence that the former president misled his own attorneys and might have broken the law. So the question now tonight, does this mean one of his attorneys will have to come back now before the special counsel?
The answer is yes. Trump's lawyers filed an appeal late yesterday to try to stop this. A three-judge panel rejected that appeal. That means the lawyer must turn over all of those documents and testify. David, we think that testimony could come as soon as Friday of this week. And in a sign of just how quickly this case is moving, Trump was given a deadline of midnight last night to make their case for the lawyer not to testify. The government, the prosecutors, were given until 6 a.m. to respond to that, and the three-judge panel ruled almost immediately the lawyer must testify, a big setback for Donald Trump.
You don't see this often in the legal system, just hours to respond on both sides. All right, John Carl tonight. John, thank you. Meantime, the race for the White House does continue, and President Trump, former president, his likely opponent on the Republican side, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. In a new interview now, after saying that supporting Ukraine was not in the interest of the U.S., what he's saying now. Also, news tonight on DeSantis and a potential plan to extend Florida's Don't Say Gay policy in schools all the way to the 12th grade. Here's Rachel Scott again tonight.
Tonight, Florida governor and likely presidential candidate Ron DeSantis trying to quiet the outcry from fellow Republicans after declaring protecting Ukraine against Russia is not in America's vital national interest. In a new interview, DeSantis declaring Vladimir Putin a war criminal.
I think he is a war criminal. I do think that he should be held accountable.
DeSantis implying Putin's days in power may be numbered.
I think he's got grand ambitions. I think he's hostile to the United States. But I think the thing that we've seen is he doesn't have the conventional capability to realize his ambition. We overestimated his conventional capability. This has been a huge blunder for him, huge costs. And, we'll see what ends up happening with his longevity and power.
It comes as DeSantis inches closer to becoming a candidate. And as his likely main rival, former President Donald Trump, faces a slew of investigations, the Florida governor highlighting their differences.
The way we run the government, I think, is no daily drama, focus on the big picture, and put points on the board. And I think that that's something that's very important.
And as for President Biden.
You think you could beat Biden?
I think so.
DeSantis now doubling down on this controversial law critics have called Don't Say Gay that restricts what teachers can tell their students about sexual orientation and gender identity. His administration now seeking to expand the law through high school, proposing that for grades 4 through 12, instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity is prohibited unless such instruction is either expressly required by state academic standards or as part of a reproductive health course or health lesson for which a student's parent has the option to have his or her student not attend.
We say gay! We say gay!
Opponents say students all the way up to their senior year, who may be struggling, could be cut off from teachers who could help.
Tonight, a spokesperson for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis telling us in a statement, quote, there is no reason for instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity to be part of the K-12 public education, full stop. This is an issue we can certainly expect to hear more about ahead of 2024, David.
Rachel Scott covering the race for the White House for us. Rachel, thank you. We turn now to the war in Ukraine, Russia unleashing a deadly new assault on several Ukrainian cities. Just some of the images tonight. This is a missile slamming into an apartment building in Zaporizhia. Dozens of injuries, including children, and this brutal assault unleashed on Ukraine even before China's President Xi departed Moscow. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge in Ukraine for us again tonight.
Tonight, a Russian missile striking an apartment block in the heart of a major Ukrainian city. Scores injured in Zaporizhia, including children. At least one person killed. Russia also launching exploding attack drones, hitting a college and dormitory southeast of Kyiv. 8 people killed here, say officials. The attacks underway even before China's President Xi departed Moscow after he and Putin said they were ready for peace. And we're learning more about that US Reaper drone, a Russian fighter jet spraying it with fuel, colliding with its propeller, the Pentagon then downing it in the Black Sea. The New York Times tonight publishing audio intercepts of Russians near the crash site coordinating efforts to retrieve drone debris from the sea that day. The Russians heard saying they picked up parts of the nose, gas tank and wing. The Kremlin awarding those pilots medals.
I have no clue why they would give a bravery award to a pilot who was at best just an idiot.
And David, a defiant move from President Zelensky visiting troops near the besieged city of Bakhmut. Ukrainian forces, they're still holding on. David?
Tom Sufi Burridge in Kyiv for us. Tom, thank you. Meantime, here at home tonight into the economy now and the Federal Reserve raising its core interest rate another 0.25% today. Its 9th consecutive increase since March of last year now. The Fed's still trying to tame inflation, even amid this banking turmoil. The Fed now projecting it will likely raise rates another 0.25%, though Fed Chief Jerome Powell saying getting inflation back down to 2%, quote, has a long way to go. When we come back here tonight, new developments in a suspicious death the nation learned of during the Alec Murdoch case. The death of a teenager, a former classmate of the surviving son, Buster Murdoch, now ruled a homicide. And the warning tonight on some common eye drops after more deaths and blindness.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, new developments in a mysterious death resurfacing during the Alec Murdoch case. South Carolina authorities now ruling the death of teenager Stephen Smith a homicide. He was a former classmate of Murdoch's surviving son, Buster. Buster Murdoch now denying he had any role in Smith's death. An important warning tonight about contaminated eye drops. The CDC now reporting the death toll linked to some common drops has now risen to at least 3. More people also reporting vision loss. At least 8 people have gone blind. More than 10 different brands of artificial tears have now been recalled, most made by Global Pharma Healthcare. We have more on our website. When we come back, the news on Dick Van Dyke tonight.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
To the index, beloved actor Dick Van Dyke was in a car accident. The 97-year-old actor was behind the wheel when he crashed into a gate in Malibu last week during a heavy downpour. Treated for minor injuries, he is recovering at home. And West Wing creator Aaron Sorkin revealing he suffered a stroke in November. He says he's still feeling some effects, telling the New York Times, "I thought I was one of the people who could eat whatever he wanted, smoke as much as he wanted, and it's not going to affect me. Boy, was I wrong." We wish them both recovery. When we come back tonight, the friendship between 2 4-year-olds, why so many are responding tonight. Finally tonight here, the power of friendship. Tonight in Saraland, Alabama, just outside Mobile, two best friends are now inspiring so many with their friendship. Reed DeWitt on the left and legend McLemore on the right, both 4 and both wearing the same exact shirt. Meeting in daycare 2 years ago, they've been best friends half their lives. When they coincidentally wore the same shirt to school one day, Legend's mom called Reed's mom and said, "Let's surprise them and keep it going." Legend! Day one, Reed at the classroom door calling for Legend.
Yes!
Inspecting their yellow shirts that say, "Cool like mom." Day two, both wearing white shirts, tan and black sleeves. Day three in the parking lot, Reed first to notice this time. Day four, Legend running up to Reed in the hallway. And day five, in their black matching car shirts, hugging. The families have been sharing it online and hearing from so many. Reed's mom reading a letter from Jennifer in Arizona.
This letter says, "This world needs more people like you in it. Do not ever change being the beautiful souls you are."
And right here tonight.
Hey, David.
Legend and Reed and their moms, the boys with their matching shirts, Mama Knows Best.
It has been so exciting, and the boys enjoy it.
Tonight, two families on one powerful friendship.
I hope that this video shows people just love and be kind.
Keep matching. We love it. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.